As they announced last Lord's Day, this morning I want to take a text that is not only going to be a theme in our service this morning, but it also will be a motto text for this incoming year, the year 2015. There is some bookmarkers available in the hallway. I got some bookmarkers printed with the motto text on it, so if you didn't get one on the way in, make sure you get one on the way out. And keep this verse before us over the next year and pray about it and pray that God will lead us and guide us into the truth that is set before us in this verse. The verse is found in the verse 7 in Jeremiah chapter 17, where we read, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and his hope the Lord is." Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Here we are at the very start of a new year. The old one has gone. It is now confined to history. We're at the brink of a new year. A new year with potential and with opportunity. And as we look forward to 2015, what is our hopes, aspirations and desires? What is our ambitions for this year? What do we desire for ourselves? What do we desire for our family? Well, no doubt about it, I'm sure each one of us would desire the blessing and prosperity of God in our lives. And that's exactly what each one of us would desire. As we look forward to this new year, with all its potential, with all its opportunities, each one of us would want a year of increase. Each one of us would want a year of peace and of blessing. And perhaps over this past week we have greeted each other and wished each other a new happy new year, and a year of blessing, and a year of prosperity. And of course that is only natural. We do want a year of blessing. We do want a year of prosperity. We want a year of success. There would be something badly wrong if we did not desire that. There would be something terribly wrong if you didn't yearn after the blessing of God. Well, here in Scripture, in Jeremiah 17 in the verse 7, I believe we're given the secret to success. We're given the secret to a year of blessing. Indeed, we could say we're given the secret to a life of blessing. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. The prophet Jeremiah in this passage of Scripture is speaking to Judah. The tribe of Judah had rebelled against God and it rebelled against God's truth. It rebelled against God's servants as well. It tells us this in verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with a point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Note how Jeremiah speaks of these people. And he speaks of their sin. It was graven upon their hearts. It had been written with the pen of iron. It had been written with the point of a diamond. In other words, they had so embraced their sin. They had so turned from the truth of God, and they had so embraced their sin that it had become part of who they were. It was inscribed upon their souls. It was imprinted upon their lives. Their sin was cut right into them. And that is what is emphasized here when it speaks about the pen of iron and the point of a diamond. It's ascribed, it was marked upon them. And so they had turned from God and they had embraced sin. And we see the consequences of this in the verse 4 in Jeremiah chapter 17. It says, "And thou even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I give thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever." God says to them that because of their sin, he will drive them out of the land, and he will give them into the hand of their enemies. Their enemies will rule over them. Their sin had caused the anger of the Lord to burn hot against them. And that is what God is showing these people. You have so embraced sin that my anger is going to burn hot against you, and I will give you into the hand of your enemies. So we can say this passage of Scripture is one that starts on a very solemn and a very serious note. Judah is not only being reminded of their sin, but they are being told of the harvest they will reap because of it. However, when we get down to verse 5, God's servant takes up a slightly different theme. For from verse 5 to the verse 8, we see a different theme that is set before the people of Judah. In fact, we can say here that in these verses we see two ways that are set before the people. Firstly, we see here a way of barrenness and emptiness. And we call it is the way of failure. We see this in verses 5 and 6. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it." Here we have the way of failure described here. The way of being unsuccessful. The way of the curse, we could call it. It's all about failure. It's trusting in man and going the way of man. But then we have the contrast to this in the next two verses, in verses 7 and 8. It is the way of success, the way of blessing. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Here we have the way of success. This is the way of blessing. And so Jeremiah, as he speaks to Judah here, and he speaks to them about their sin, and how their sin has been engraved upon their heart, and he speaks to them about God's judgment upon their sin, he goes on then to set two ways before them. He says, this is your past. This is what you've done in the past. You have sinned. Your sin is engraved upon your hearts. But now he's speaking about the future. And as he speaks upon the future, he gives two ways to these people. The way of failure, which is the way of going the way of man. And then he speaks about the way of blessing, which is going God's way. And what is Jeremiah doing here? He's saying before the people, listen, you've got a choice. What choice are you going to make? Are you going to choose the way of failure? The way of misery? The way of sin, the way you've chosen in the past? That has disinherited you from the heritage of God? Or are you going to choose the way of blessing? The way of success? The way of fruitfulness? That is exactly what Jeremiah is doing here before these people. He is speaking to them about the future and what lies before them. And here we are. Here we are at the very commencement of 2015. The start of another year. And the same question could be asked to each one of us today. What way will we take? What way will we take? 2014 is gone, it's history. And the failures of 2014, they're past. But what about 2015? What about the future? What path will we take? Will we take the path of failure or the path of success? What decision will we make? This morning I want us to think upon verse 7 and also verse 8. And I want to think upon the subject, living in the place of blessing. Living in the place of blessing. That is surely the place where every true believer wants to live in this year that lies before us. We want to live in the place of blessing. We want to know times of fruitfulness, times of joy, times of gladness, times of increase. Well, I believe in verses 7 and 8 here we have the secret to it. We have the truth of what it is to live in the place of blessing revealed. Jeremiah directs us to the man who is the blessed man. And then he describes that man for us. And I want us to look at this man this morning and to see what it is to live in the place of blessing. The first thing I want us to notice here is the position of this man who is living in the place of blessing. The position of this man. Verse 8 tells us, "And he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river." In verse 7 it tells us about the blessed man. But then verse 8 describes or illustrates that man for us. In verse 7 we see two things about this blessed man. Firstly, we see that he trusteth in the Lord. And then secondly, the Lord is his hope. And so he's got these two characteristics. He trusts in the Lord, and then the Lord is his hope. When it speaks of this individual trusting in the Lord and hoping in him, it means that this man has placed his confidence in God. And that's what it means. He's placed his confidence in God. He is his security. He is the place of refuge and shelter. As he trusts in God, he's trusting in God to protect him. He's trusting in God to meet his need, to keep him safe. In Psalm 27, the verse 3, the psalmist says, "Though an host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." And the psalmist there is speaking in that psalm of how God is his salvation, how God is his strength. And he says, "In this will I be confident. I will be confident in God, though a host should encamp against me, though a great army come against me." That's what he's saying. I'm going to be confident in God. I'm going to trust in God. And the same word here is translated trust, or trusteth in verse 7. It means confident. And so the person who is blessed has got utter confidence in God. Is trusting in God. Is confident in God's ability. Is confident in God's strength. Is secure in him. When we come to verse 8, it is very clear that this person is confident in God because of the position that he has taken up. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, planted by the waters. The roots of this tree spread out towards the river. And this is the position of the man who trusteth in God. The position of the man who is confident in God. God is like the living water. And the man who is confident in God positions himself beside the water, spreading out his roots towards that river. You know, I want us to notice about this position, it is one close to the source of life. It is one close to the source of life. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." The man who trusteth in God is blessed because he lives in the position close to the source of life. Close to the source of blessing. Just like a tree that is planted by the waters. It can draw life, life-giving water, through its roots, into its trunk. And so therefore remains strong and healthy and growing. And you know, the person who trusteth in God is in such a position. They live close to God. They live in fellowship with God. That they might draw spiritual life from him. Spiritual strength from him. How important it is that as Christians, we live close to the source of life. Live close to the fountain of every blessing. In verse 14 here, verse 13, the latter words tells us, "The Lord, the fountain of living waters." He is the fountain of living waters. Therefore, we must position ourselves close to him. We must continue on in fellowship with him. Oh, the position we need to take up at the start of this year and throughout this year is a position in continual fellowship with God. Walking in God's company. Christ says in John 7:37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." What is he saying? He's saying, "I'm able to sustain you. I'm able to refresh you. I am the source of blessing. I am the source of life." Or the position the blessed man takes is a position close to the source of life. I heard the story some time ago of a young man starting out in his ministry. He went to an older minister who had retired. And this young man had great respect for this older minister. He held him in high regard and high esteem. And he went to him because he had a question for him. And the question was this. The young man asked the older minister this question. "How do you remain fresh in your ministry? How do you preach every week? 3-4 times a week. How do you remain fresh? How can you remain fresh for the 40 years that you have just had? And you are fresh every Lord's Day morning. How do you do it?" And the older man, his answer was very simple. He told him, "Live close by the fountain. Live close by the fountain. And you'll be fresh." And that applies to every single believer. Oh, if we want to be Christians that are vibrant, Christians that are growing, evergreen Christians, it's only possible if we live close to the fountain of living waters. Live in fellowship. Live in communion with God. Oh, in this year 2015, we ought to determine in our hearts, we are going to live close by the fountain of living waters. We are going to make it a year where we will live in fellowship with God. And we will abandon perhaps the things of this world, as things we need to get rid of out of our lives. Things that would hinder us. Things that would mar our fellowship with God. Get rid of them. And live close in fellowship with God, and then you'll be fresh. You'll be vibrant, you'll be strong, and you'll be growing. The position of this man is close to the source of life. It's not only close to the source of life, but it's craving for satisfaction. Craving for satisfaction. Verse 8 goes on to tell us, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Notice what this tree is doing. It's not only planted by the waters, but it spreads out its roots by the river. The roots spread out because they're seeking sustenance. They desire nutrition. They desire energy. So the tree will be enabled to grow. The tree will be enabled to be stronger, more vibrant. And that is just like the man who trusteth in the Lord. They crave and they desire for the blessing of God in their lives. There's that craving, that desiring. The position of the man who is blessed of God is a position of seeking the Lord, of desiring after God, of having the craving in their soul for God to come by His Spirit and to fill their lives. And make their lives full of Him and full of His truth and full of His love. And that is the position of the man who is living in the place of blessing. Oh, they have a desire for more. They're never satisfied. They have an appetite for spiritual things. An appetite for the blessing of God. Have you got that appetite today? Oh, we need to culture such an appetite, such a desire. Because it's only when we have such a desire that we can live in the place of blessing. Have an appetite, a hunger and thirst after righteousness. In Psalm 63, we see David's craving after God. In fact, if we turn to Psalm 63, we see here how David was a man that really desired after God. He craved after God. And we see this often through the book of Psalms. David was a man after God's own heart, a man that knew the blessing of God. And yet we see how he had this overwhelming desire to know more of God. He was never satisfied. He wanted more. In Psalm 63, it tells us, and this is David's words, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. See how David really longs and desires after God. Verse 2, to see Thy power and Thy glory. So as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. See David's desire, his yearning after God. Verse 8 talks about, my soul followeth hard after Thee. And the theme is, or the thought here is of a pursuit. As when a man would pursue his enemy, chase him on horseback, riding zealously and passionately after him. This is what David is speaking about. His soul followeth hard after God. Is that the state of our hearts today? Do we pursue after God in that manner? That's the place of blessing. That's what it is to live in the place of blessing. As it were, almost hunt God down. Seek Him in that way that we really earnestly call upon Him and desire Him for His help. This is the position of the man who lives in the place of blessing. Psalm 34 and 10 tells us, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You see, God wants us to seek Him. God desires to be sought after. Are we going to be the people that seek after God in this year? And so we see here the position of the man who lives in the place of blessing. Moving on, we see not only the position of this man, but notice the peace of this man who is living in the place of blessing. Verse 8 tells us, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. The scene here that is set before us by the prophet Jeremiah is of a tree. Remember, this tree is the picture of the person who trusteth in God. But the scene that is set before us is of this tree, and it's described here as a tree that is growing, a tree that is green, a tree that is vibrant, a tree that is attractive and appealing. This is not a withered up old branch. This is a lush, vibrant, green, appealing tree. And so this is the scene that is set before us. However, this tree is not free from the elements that would come against it. The sun and the wind are mentioned here. And there are forces that can come against it and come upon it. Yes, this tree is living close to the source of life. And it's reaching out its roots into the river, seeking for nutrition, seeking for life. But all the time, the outside elements, things that can come upon it and bear down upon it. What a picture we have here of the Christian. The Christian are that person who seeks to live in the place of blessing. Living for God and living in daily fellowship with God does not exempt us. Does not exempt us from facing the troubles and difficulties of this life. We can still feel the cold chill of this wind, of the wind of this world, as we seek to live for God. We can still face the heat of trouble as we endeavor to honor God in our lives. Yes, this tree is vibrant, it's green, it's attractive. But there's these elements that are against it and blow upon it. Of course, we can think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the perfect example here. In John 8:29, Christ says, I do always those things that please him. That is, please his Father in heaven. Christ lived like no other man lived, a faithful life, a life of obedience, a life that desired, a life that demanded the very blessing of God upon it, because it was an obedient life. And he was filled with the Spirit without measure. But that didn't exempt him from adversity and trouble and difficulty. From his birth to his crucifixion, Christ knew what it was to feel the elements of this world and wickedness against him. He suffered trial after trial. His enemies planned and plotted against him. His friends forsook him. He suffered great difficulties in this life. And so if Christ, who is the perfect one, suffered hardship and difficulty, how much more should we? We who are sinners. We who do not live perfect life in any sense. And so the Christian is not free from outside elements and trouble. But what we see here in verse 8 is, for the man who lives in the place of blessing, he has got a peace. He's got a peace even in the face of the troubles of life. And that is really what is brought out here. You see, think of what Jeremiah is saying. He's speaking to these people about all the troubles that have befallen them. And they have been discontinued from God's heritage. They have been driven out of it. They have been given into the hands of their enemies because of their sin, because of their wickedness. And so Jeremiah is saying, listen, you must trust in God. And then you will receive blessing. Then things will go well. But at the same time, he's not preaching a prosperity gospel like many do today. He's telling them the truth. He's saying, yes, you'll be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. But there'll be things that will come against you. But even when those things come against you, you will possess a peace. A peace. And we can see here, this person has a peace in the midst of affliction. Peace in the midst of affliction. Note the words in verse 8, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. Shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. The heat here is referring to the scorching sun that would beat down upon the tree. A tree that was planted in the wilderness, when the sun arose against it, would quickly wilt and die. It would quickly droop. But this tree is beside the source of life. And so when affliction comes, when vehement heat of the sun bears down upon it, its leaf remains green. It doesn't wilt, it doesn't die. There is peace even in the hottest affliction. And you know, that will be the experience of the man of God who's living in the place of blessing. Oh yes, they will suffer affliction. But even in affliction there is peace. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Afflictions will come, but we're delivered out of them all. as we look forward to this year that lies before us, we do not know what this year has in stock for any of us. It could be a year of trial. It could be a year of testing. No doubt it will be for some. A year of trial, a year of difficulty. A year of trouble, a year of affliction. We don't know. We don't know what lies before us in this new year. But this we can be sure of. If we are living in the place of blessing close to our Savior, then we can know and experience a peace even in the midst of affliction, even in the midst of trouble. We know how Job was a godly man. He was a man that lived continually in the place of blessing. God bears testimony to his life when he says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." And so Job was a godly man. Who was like unto godly Job? And yet what great troubles Job suffered. He lost everything. His property, his wealth, his children. His wife turned her back upon him. What afflictions Job suffered. And yet what was Job's response? Well, he said this in Job 13 and 5. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." What was Job saying? Job was saying, "I've got a peace. A peace in a God that I trust. An absolute confidence in him. That even though he should rise up against me and slay me, I'll still place my confidence in him. I'll still trust in him. I'll still hope in him." See, he was a man living in the place of blessing, in fellowship with God. And when all of this affliction came upon him, he had an inner peace. A peace that carried him through. The person who lives in the place of blessing not only has got a peace in affliction, but they have peace that would deliver them from being afraid. They have peace from that which would cause them to be afraid. When a man is living in the place of blessing, then there's no need to be afraid. You see, it goes on to say in verse 8 here, "And shall not be careful in the year of drought." And shall not be careful in the year of drought. The word careful means to be afraid. That's exactly what it means. There's some ice this morning, but I think it's away now. But sometimes when people see the ice, they try to go carefully. Why? Because they're afraid. Or you'll say to someone, "Oh, be careful, you don't slip." Because we are afraid they will slip. But this tree here, it's not careful. It's not afraid. We could literally read these words, "And shall not be afraid in the year of drought." This tree, when it does not experience the showers, when the droughts come and other trees are dying all around it, it's not afraid. It will enjoy peace because it's in the place of blessing. And that is just like the man who is trusting in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. They will not fear in the time of drought, in the time of barrenness. Need I say it again? We're in a time of drought, spiritually speaking. We're in a time of barrenness. Things are hard today. And there's many things that would cause us to be afraid, we could say. We look at the apathy. People don't care about the truth of God. People aren't concerned about their souls, about the gospel. We look at the wickedness that pervades across our land and our nation. It's given to gross wickedness. May our fathers spend their time doing something wicked than be concerned about their souls. What will the next generation hold for our children or our grandchildren? What world will they be born into? And these things can cause us to be afraid, but the person who is trusting and hoping in God has no need to be afraid, because they're trusting in one who is able to come and able to change the circumstances, is able to come and to revive us, turn us again and to deliver us. That is our confidence today for 2015. Do you believe that God can come and make this a year of fruitfulness, a year of blessing, a year of increase? My friend, you ought to be confident in that. Because God is well able to do much more than this. God is able to give us times of refreshing from his presence, times of increase. You know, when David came to the battle that day when Goliath stood against Israel, all the Israelites, from the king right down to the very lowest man in the army, they were all afraid. Why were they afraid? Because they weren't trusting in God. That's why they were afraid of Goliath. David, this young shepherd boy, he looked at Goliath and he had absolute confidence in God. If we were to read those words, we'll not do it for sake of time, but his words reveal how he had total confidence in God. This day will the Lord deliver me into my hand. He wasn't afraid of Goliath because he'd seen the greatness of God. He had a peace. So therefore, as we look into this new year, well, we can go forward without a fear, without trouble. Even perhaps when the church seems as if it's diminishing, we can go forward with total confidence in God. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and his hope the Lord is. It's the man living in the place of blessing. We see the position of this man. We see the peace of this man. Notice quickly and finally the productivity of this man living in the place of blessing. See, it says there in the latter part of verse 8, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The man that lives in the place of blessing will be the productive man. His life will be fruitful. Indeed, that surely has to be our goal as we commence this new year. Fruitful and productive lives. The person that does not trust in God but rather looks to the world and men for prosperity is marked by spiritual leanness, is marked by spiritual barrenness. And we see this in verses 5 and 6. We've already read them, but we'll just read them again just to get the sense here. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. What is this speaking about? Speaking about barrenness, death, salt land. Nothing can grow. And this person, what are they doing? They're trusting in man. They're seeking for happiness and pleasure in the things of this world. That's what they're doing. That is what verse 5 is speaking about. The man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. He's looking for happiness, some meaning, some purpose in the things of this world. And that is what Judah were doing. And they suffered barrenness and leanness. What a difference there is in the man who's living day by day in fellowship with God. Feeding upon his truth and desiring to know his blessing in their life. They don't cease from yielding fruit. We can say, as we think of these words here, their fruitfulness, the fruitfulness of this man living in the place of blessing is continuous. He shall not cease from yielding fruit. It shall not cease. His life will continually be a life of fruitfulness. You see, the reality is, if we live in the place where we are drawing from Christ, if we live in that place, if we live in that place where we're seeking and desiring Him, then the only possible outcome is this. We will continually bear fruit. Nothing else can happen. If we're living in that place where we're continually drawing from Christ, we will continually bear fruit. The Lord Jesus Himself reminded us of this in John 15. If we turn just to John 15 in the New Testament just for a moment, we see here Christ speaking. In John 15, verses 4 and 5, Christ says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Then he says in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. What does Christ say? He's saying the person that abides in fellowship with me, lives seeking me, lives drawing from me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It's emphatic. This year can be a year of great blessing. A year of great blessing for you personally. It can be a year of great blessing for you as a family. It can be a year of great blessing for God's work. If we abide in Christ, if we continue on in fellowship with Him, if we in our homes seek God as a family, as we seek God as individuals, as we seek God as a church, God can give us much fruit. I believe that with all of my heart. He can give us much fruit. He is the one who is rich. He's able to bless us and cause us to be prosperous. And so we see this man, he brings fruit continuously. He also brings fruit that is Christ-like. Brings fruit that is Christ-like. What sort of fruit does the person who lives in the place of blessing bring forth? He brings forth Christ-like fruit. They are the fruits of grace and righteousness. Christ-like fruit. The truth of the matter is that our lives will all bear forth fruit this year. Each one of them. Each one of us in this year that lies before us will bring forth fruit. Our lives will produce something. There's no doubt about that. God has made each one of us. If you're saved, if you're a Christian today, God has saved you for a purpose. That purpose is to bring forth fruit. The question is, what fruit will you bring forth? What fruit will you bear? Will it be that which is Christ-like? Will it be the fruits of righteousness and grace? Fruits that are refreshing? Fruits that are a nourishment to others? Fruits that are God glorifying? Will your life be a productive life towards God? Is that what your life will produce in this year? It can be if we live close to Christ, the source of life. It can be if we trust in the Lord. If we make Him our hope. Or will it be just another year? Another year of muddling through a profitless year, really. A year we'll have nothing to show for it, spiritually speaking. As parents, is it your desire to take your family forward into greater times of spiritual blessing? Is that your desire? As members of this church, is it your desire to see God's work prosper here? As people that live in this community, is it your desire to reach out to others and bring forth fruit of those that are living around us here in sin? Seeking to see God's work going forward. Jeremiah was setting a choice before the people of Judah. It's a choice that we must face up to today. At the commencement, the first Lord's Day of this year, what will we determine to do? How will we go forward? How will we walk? How will we live? We must face up to the truth of God's word. You know, in Israel, Jeremiah is known for the weeping prophet. As the weeping prophet, he was known for that. Why? Because people wouldn't heed the word of God. He lamented and he wept because they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. He set this choice before them, but they wouldn't listen. But really, it was a choice not to go on with God. It was a choice to stay in their sin and to live just as they were living. And each one of us, and I speak to myself today, we have a choice today. What way are we going to go? Are we going to say we're making it a different year? We're going to make it a different year. We're going to step out for God. We're going to determine to live for Him. May this be our desire. May this be the burden of our heart. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and his hope the Lord is. May we know and maybe be those that experience this blessedness in our lives. Amen. Amen.